You stop and think about it, and you think about all the groans and the moans and the problems and worries and anxieties, and you know, when we spend the greater part of our day and our life thinking about our problems, whether we're going to be or we ain't going to be, or whether we've got it or haven't got it, or whether we need it or don't need it, you know, financial-wise or whatever, spiritually, whatever. And spend our time fussing and feuding and never reading the Bible, never thinking on Jesus, never trying to correct the disorders of our life, never doing anything worthwhile, always just a continual worry over and over and over, continual wondering, never using faith to give God a chance to help us, or launching out in the direction, you know, of confidence in Christ that He'll supply all of our needs or be with us. We never give Him a chance like that. All of our time is taken up in wondering and worrying and despondency and trying to figure the situation out. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. That's not sad for the world, because the world don't know no source except their own ability. But we who know Jesus and know the promises of Jesus and know that they can't be altered, can't be changed, knowing that he that promised is faithful. You know, the Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. See, and here we are, we know these things, you know, and we don't give God a chance. We just don't give God a chance. One of the big problems is we're too hungry for the world. We're so hungry for life that we get swallowed up by life. We're so hungry to have. The Bible said that we lust and try to obtain unto, and we kill and have war, and we desire and lust, and yet we don't obtain nothing because of our greed, gullibleness, because of our attitude, because we don't have the right kind of thinking. You know, your thinking has got a lot to do with it. I talk to my brethren a lot of times about their thinking. Most churches, as a rule, don't preach about thinking. They don't preach about that. They don't talk to you about your thinking. Because, as a rule, most ministers don't consider that because their thinking ain't right. Whereas there are some that just, their thinking is right, but they've just never come to the real understanding of some things. But your thinking is important. Your thinking is important. If you come in here and you don't think right, you've wasted your trip. Your trip is completely wasted. When you enter them doors, if you don't think right, your trip is wasted. Unless that preacher can persuade you to think right, then your thinking has already exiled you and you get nothing from God. Because see, the world of God is the world of thought. It's important. Ever so important. That's why the Bible says, enter into his gates with thoughts of thanksgiving, praise, and that kind of thing. So good to be here tonight, be back from India, be back from overseas, and have a chance to kind of relax for a few days, kind of recuperate, especially before we go on the field with the tent. The Lord spoke to us today about the tent meetings and where we're to have our first tent meeting. And, of course, getting ready for Africa. I feel like the Lord will give us a great meeting in Africa, and we're getting letters from India that's pleading with us to come back to India. I'd like to say that we're glad to have Brother Atlee here tonight. He come up, I don't know just what time he got in. Brother Atlee, Sister Beachy, they're very precious people, and they're part of Bethlehem, and a lot of times I think of Ezekiel's four-faced man. And when I think of it, I think of Atlee. I think of the ox. Somehow or another, I always think of Atlee as a laborer. You know, the Bible said the laborers are few. And I think of him as a laborer, one that has bowed down his back to labor, having been willing to carpenter, to dig, to do almost anything. And Atlee, it is by his labor and Sister Beach's sacrifice and their little family that was willing to go along with them, it is by their efforts in a great way that Bethlehem's been established and the light is shining throughout the world from Bethlehem. And while a lot of times a person will move to new frontiers of evangelism to establish and to help, as Brother Atlee has, down the boat, wherever, yet there's always a lot of things that needs to be done back home. Here on the home front, there's always many things. I think of Atlee a lot of times, and I guess I need him more times than I got fingers and toes here on the home front. But I need him there, and so it is with a good man or a man that will help. So many men will not help, and so many women won't help, until when you do find one that will help, you need him everywhere. You need him everywhere. And I got a few that will help me. Jesus said the laborers are few. And I got so many at Bethlehem that would rather criticize me, find fault with me, say things, disgrace me, disgrace the work, talk about me, cause problems, work against my workers, do everything to tear down. You know, but oh, my beloved friend, you can't imagine how angry God is with you. The anger of the Almighty God, knowing that you would hinder him and his work and that from winning souls. I also noticed that Brother Gonzalo is sitting back here tonight. I hadn't seen him in a good long while. Gracie also noticed him back there. She wrote a little note here. Gonzalo was on the field together for a while down in Central America. And had a good time down there. And Gonzalo was responsible in helping us in a real tight moment while we were down there. We had a good time there with him. He had a chance to do something for God and to use his faith while we had a chance to use ours. And also when we were down at his home, down in Bolivia, the people there were so wonderful. They treated us so wonderful. And we met brethren there that was so wonderful. Brother Grady was telling me the other day, he said, I saw you, it looked like you was in South America, Brother Pike, and said you was having the greatest meeting that you ever had in your life. Whereas we had planned to go back into South America. The Lord spoke to me today about taking the tent, setting up the one-pole round tent up around Archdale or back up in the areas of Carolina. He told me, said, I want you to go up there and round up your sheep. You know, I haven't been up there. I haven't messed with that area because I thought I don't want to cause any problem up there. I don't want to cause any of the ministers any problem. But I said, Lord, you know that my sheep are up there. But I can't go there. I don't want to cause any problem. But he said, you go round up your sheep. So I don't care what the ministers think about it. If he said it's my time, it's my time. He also told me this, too. He said, there's another generation coming on. He said, you go get them young folks. And I said, I will. Praise God. So then, the Lord is wanting to do something. And, you know, speaking of this, I really appreciate Gonzalo. I was looking at the piece in the paper today. I don't know when it come out, but I hadn't seen it until today. As a matter of fact, I picked it up just before I come to church and took it down there and gave it to you, didn't it, Chuck, just a few minutes ago. It has a picture of Gonzalo, a couple of pictures, where he's on his job at the hospital and where he saved this girl's life. I think he had to tunnel into a bank to be able to get to her and help her. And it really shook the people of Monroe up in that he'd done the thing that he did. And they published an article speaking of his championship in Bolivia as a tennis player and how that the heroic act of what he did up here in saving the girl's life. I believe about the girl about 16 years old or something. But that's wonderful. God in the heart of a person magnifies a person. Wherever they go, as long as they have God there and they're concerned about God's people, God magnifies them, lifts them up. He said, David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote, given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. I may have to go down to the boat. I really don't know. We've got the material, Brother Atlee, that you needed. Got about every bit of it. It's few more things that they've got to get. They sent some down by Roger, and then, of course, you know how Mike had the wreck, and the Lord took care of him, and Ready? I sent some of it down, and we've got some of it down there in the basement for you, and the composing office down there. And they're going to get the other, going to try to get the other just as quick as they can. I think the only thing they're liking is maybe some 14-size screws. But we may have to go back down and get with them on the boat. I don't know. They understand pretty well. A few more things that's got to be bought down there. But you pray for us that God will help us. Okay? You know, I really love the Lord. And I love Bethlehem. To me, Bethlehem is one of the most wonderful places in the world. And I really mean that. I'm not just saying it. Somebody says, well, you're just prejudiced. Well, maybe I am. You know, but really and truly, after traveling around all over the different parts of the world, Brother Atlee, so help me. I tell you what, I believe Brother Gerald will agree with me. Now, I ain't going to put him on the spot, but you ask him sometime on his own. And while we was gone, he'd talk about Bethlehem. Ain't no place like Bethlehem. And you know, there really ain't. When you get to looking around, they just ain't. Even in over in the Holy Land, back over there in Israel and across there, you don't find a place like Bethlehem. Even Bethlehem of the Holy Land ain't like Bethlehem over here. I said, I know you're prejudiced now. I guess, well, maybe I am. The difference is we got the Christ child over here. And Bethlehem over there is a beautiful place, but really it's not like this place. This place over here is alive with a chance for Christ Jesus. Little Bethlehem. And over there it seems so dead. People not interested in God. And of course the Jews don't esteem Jesus as being nothing more than a prophet. So they don't raise up his name. They don't magnify him. There's no carrying on over him. You know, so it's not like it is around here with the praises unto God. But I love Bethlehem, and I'm very sorry that we've not made more progress in the sense of getting up the other buildings that we wanted so bad. If I'd had Atlee, kept him around here, and hadn't seen him all about 2 years, would have had something going. But anyway, we've got a little something going on the school building down here. Jimmy, he's really getting stirred up about that, and I really believe that Jimmy, along with Jerry Whitlow, Brother Gerald, he's getting stirred about that thing too. And I believe him, Brother Fontaine, Jimmy, a few of them like that, that they mean business and they're fixing to get that building up down there at the school. I really believe that, Brother Ted. I believe they mean business. They're stirred about that thing. And the revelation of the Lord shows something to be done anyway right now. This is a great moment. And concerning Bethlehem, it's a great moment concerning Bethlehem. And it shows things will really be set on fire around here and things will happen. But I want you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord will bless us and that our people will testify, you know, of the glory of God and the wonderful things of God will take place. I appreciate our ladies that wear the long dresses. I really appreciate you, especially you that love God, that wear them for the cause of Christ. You know, being at Bethlehem, the reason it's so wonderful is because Jesus is here. I've got some people that Jesus lives in. They're the temple of God, and that makes Jesus to be here. And it's just wonderful to be wherever Jesus is. And two or three in his name, he said, I'll be in the midst of them. But I was over at the mall the other day. Betty and I was walking around, and I saw some of the most beautiful long dresses. My, they were so pretty. As a matter of fact, I bought Gracie one of them. And, of course, I'm a fanatic. I'd have bought three of them if Betty hadn't got on to me. I thought they're so pretty, you know. I got all three of them, and I saw their delight. And I thought, no, I better not do that. So I just got one of them. But, you know, women that are willing to dress decent and be a lady and stand out for Jesus, they need consideration. You need to buy them cloth to make dresses. And ladies, don't just take and sew it together like a bag. Make a dress out of it, something nice out of it. And these pretty dresses that you see like that, not loud and boisterous, but something that looks ladylike. A woman symbolic of the church, you know. And you just wait till you see Christ's bride on that day. The beautiful, beautiful linen of righteousness, the Bible speaks of it, spotless white. See, and you do something for them. And you help them to be a lady. And you be thankful because you got a real lady. And you wear your dresses, you know, in a ladylike way. Be a real woman for Christ. And you men do the same thing. It's a wonderful thing to do something for God. A wonderful thing to do something for God. God is doing something in an outstanding way. We sing that song, red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. God loves everybody. He's made everybody. And as you travel around the world, you know, you see people. Maybe this person's features is altogether different from this person's features. Then you see somebody else. But you know, they're all beautiful in their way, in their perspective. They're all beautiful. You know, we have our definition of what's pretty, you know. Like a red bird, his definition of beauty is another red bird. You know, so we have our definition of what's beauty, and we that are white, we that are black, we that are red, we that are yellow, whatever. You know, our definition of beauty. Maybe one person sees another person, you know, with a long, slender nose, and they think they're pretty. One says, this is tall, I like something tall and handsome. Another says, I like something that's really got some power, you know. And, you know, and on and on and on. It's really quite a comical thing. But I think about it, you know, who are we as individuals really to come up with the definition of what is pretty and what is not pretty? One person might have a collie dog, and that's the prettiest thing they've ever seen. Another wouldn't trade their pug-nosed bulldog for a dozen collies. Now, and you know, and you think, you know, a man, a young man, he's looking for a wife, and he sees this woman. Maybe a black man sees a black woman, and a yellow man, a yellow woman, and a white man, a white woman. On and on and on, you know. And what really makes them pretty is all of them put together. The rainbow's pretty because all of them is together. Take one color away from the other, and not near as pretty. But anyway, you know, God, He likes variety. He makes variety. He likes it. Red hair and brown hair and gold hair and yellow hair and silver hair and all kind of hair. Blue eyes and pink eyes. But anyway, we, you know, maybe a young man, he'll look at a woman and maybe, you know, he's an Indian or whatever he might be from his race, whatever. He sees a young woman and he thinks she's just that. That to him right there is the definition of beauty. But you know what? You take that same pretty woman out of any race and take her down, you know, down near the pond somewhere. You look out there and you see a great big old hippopotamus over here and another hippopotamus over here. That woman can walk around in front of that hippopotamus all she wants to, but his definition of beauty is that other hippopotamus. And he'll be rubbing his nose over on her. Because that's his definition of beauty. So really, you know, you don't have any right to set any definition of beauty. God is beauty. Isn't that right? God is the only definition of beauty that I know of. And He's the only definition of love. So then, if He is, wherever there's God, God beautifies the meek with salvation. So if you're meek, whoever you are, whatever you are, if you have His Spirit and then you become meek, then you're beautiful. You're just beautiful, that's all, because you've got the Spirit of beauty. And this is so wonderful to know that God is what He is and that we're His subjects and that He made all things and all things was created by Him and for Him was they made. For His pleasure they were created. So then if a man wants a beard and a woman wants long hair and one wants pigtails, you know, and one wants it, one wants that, well, that's fine. I mean, that's their business. You know, it's up to them. As long as they're satisfied with it, well, I'm satisfied with it. The main thing is the heart right with God? Does what you do and what you look like witness to the Word of God? If it does, then everything is fine. I thank the Lord for His wonderful blessings. Thank God for His love and understanding. And I see some wonderful things taking place. We're just about ready for tent season. Still got a lot to do. And I said, too, that the boat, I like to mention the boat once in a while. The ship is, we just about got the top of the cabin finished. Don't like much now, a little bit on the front. I say 1 week's work. Get a few men at work with us. We've got about 1 week's work, and the ship will be finished on the front. As far as the entire top of it, you know, as far as the cabin work, it'll be finished. I don't mean in detail and the partitions on the inside, putting in the windows and a lot of other things, but I mean as far as the framework and the covering, these kind of things. And We're ready to start after that on some other parts of the ship. A lot of it we've already fixed. A lot of it we spent money on it, and we're going to work on it. And then whatever God wants to do with it, well, that's what we'll do with it. We're not covetous about it all. Whatever His pleasure is, that's our pleasure. There's some boys overseas, Curti and some of the others, just begging us to bring them over here. They said, Brother Pike, we know exactly what to do with the ship. Said, we'll take it out, take it from shore to shore. They go day after day to foreign shores. And said, we know exactly what to do. Said, just put it in our hands. Tell us what you want. Said, we'll do exactly what you want. And I mean, they're good boys that love God. And they're really pressing on us to come over here. And, of course, we've got some brethren here, too, you know, that they know something about the ship, and they're kind of anxious to go, too. Well, we need prayer concerning that. And the plane, Brother Ron, he's getting some things together now. The plane will be flying again in a little while. We've had it grounded for a few things, and it'll take a few $1,000s, and it'll be fixed. And we only owe $3,000 on the plane. It'll be paid for, and the boat's already paid for, the ship. Numbers of other things is paid for, and numbers of other things that we paid as high as $40,000 or better for. We just owe a few $1,000s on all of them be paid for. Much, much is ready to be paid for just with a few $1,000s. So God's really blessed us. Having gone on the new radio station around the world, the Easter morning, it was the first broadcast. It went all over the world, into Russia and everywhere. The Lord blessed us in that, and we've got people everywhere that's asking for the literature and the translations now in so many multiplied languages. They tell me more than every major language of the world, and we're still getting them into more languages. We've got one into Hindu now that they'll be printing before long, and this language is the major language among 800 million people. So this is outstanding. And the Lord is still blessing us with more and more. They sent us another new translation, Telugu, I believe they call it. And I believe He said it was 6,000 million there, wasn't it, Betty? Anyway, I don't remember how many, but there was a lot of them. And more translations all the time, and more people in the States, and more people in the foreign countries begging to be a part of Little Bethlehem and wanting to move to Little Bethlehem to make this their home. They say that from our literature and what we're publishing, they say we see a light at Bethlehem and we see the real gospel. And they said we see some people that still believe in the real, genuine thing. And you know, people are getting tired and tired of this make-believe sort of a thing, and they're beginning to look for a light. The shadows is falling, and they're beginning to become real concerned, and they're beginning to look for something real. And they see something real at Bethlehem, and God is leading them in this direction. And I'm not sure, but I know Betty was talking to George Jr. and David and maybe Lonnie and them, some of them. Think they're coming home, are they? Pretty shortly, pretty quick. Think they're coming home, maybe stay at home, I don't know. But anyway, Hawaii didn't seem to be the heaven they thought it was, and they decided they wanted to come back. Chuck laughing about it. But anyway, it's the most wonderful, you know, to be a Christian. Wonderful to talk about the things of God. And if we here as people will begin to love one another and get the wrong thoughts out of our mind and resentment and jealousy and begin to relate one to another in the real love of God and the real concern for people and humanity, we'll have a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. You know, and if we'll get our minds on doing something for God and evangelizing the world, keeping the offices going and translating these things and whatever. I hope Gonzalo will get back out here for long. He really helped me in the translations for South America. He was a great benefit to me. And I hope he can get back with us for long and take up where he left off and help us with our work down there. That's an outstanding place. We have Brazil and the other places and different places that we need to reach with the gospel. And people in those areas they're literally pleading with us to come and also to share with them the gospel of Jesus by the printed page. You say, Brother Pike, you exaggerate it. My hand be raised to the living God. I'm not exaggerating it. It's the truth. We have people that are literally begging. They actually beg in their letters. And they say, send me all the literature that you can send me. And I don't mean one letter, two letters. We're getting many, many letters from the foreign fields all over. Stevie, I see him raise his hand. He knows that's true. And Stevie's getting more shook up all the time. I can tell it in talking to him. He's just about got to where he had that Cadillac that he wanted was about to sob on him. And he's decided he'd rather be an evangelist. So it's true, you know, that him and Sister Deanna, they're getting more and more to where they'd rather do something for God. And Stevie's ministry, of course, has already reached out clear around the world. I was just talking to him yesterday, I believe it was, and I told him, I said, Stevie, you know that your daddy frontiered this. It's because of Brother Atlas' efforts that you're able to hurl this around the world. But it is a true fact that it's being so. And like Brother Mike said, well, I don't know how or why. I said, but one thing about this, so they know about this thing everywhere you go. And it is true that when we went into the islands, from island to island, place to place, different times, they'd say, I know about that ministry. As a matter of fact, Brother Tilden was telling me yesterday, I believe he said that, when we was in Macon and they were communicating with Brother Terrell and the others, there said something was mentioned about the ministry, and they said, we know about this ministry. Said, we make it our business to know where this ministry goes. Said, we keep up with it. Said, we know when you was at the sports arena in Atlanta, Georgia, having the meeting there. So then people are concerned and things are taking place. Jesus brings us out of the cocoon of the old body, brings us to that wonderful new resurrection and life. He appears to us again and again, like our sister wrote the song, Jesus in Another Form. Jesus comes to us again and again, ministering, always telling us about his love. The Spirit comes into our midst. Let's lift our hands and love him. God inhabits the praise of the people. When you praise God, when you love God, it's when you lift up your hearts to God. This is when God comes into your midst. This is when God blesses you. This is when God heals. It's not by power or might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's when we begin to praise God and begin to love God that we make room for God in our hearts and in our lives. And then comes God. Then comes God, the wonderful God of the eternal ages. Can you love him? Can you love him? Can you lift your hands up and love him? Let's just praise him. Father, tonight we love you. Father, tonight we praise you because we know that that stream is flowing tonight. God, we know that it's flowing. Oh, hallelujah. We know that it's flowing because we feel it tonight. God, you're our everything. You're our all. We feel the stream flowing from heaven. We're partakers of it tonight, Jesus. God, we can feel it in our midst tonight. The wonderful divine deliverance of Almighty God. May thy Spirit, O God, sweep over the people tonight. May it sweep over Bethlehem tonight. May it sweep over India tonight. May it sweep over Israel tonight. May it sweep over the world tonight, God, in South America and wherever. Oh, God of heaven, through China, through Russia, may the great, wonderful Spirit of revival and the Spirit of awakening, the Spirit of resurrection, Father, you're coming forth to call your people. You're coming forth to call your people to order, to call them to life. You're coming forth to call your people, Lord, to resurrect together your sheep. May the wonderful Spirit of the living God be with us. And may the power of God be in our midst to save and to heal and deliver in the wonderful name of Jesus, we ask. Hallelujah. You love him tonight? Let's sing this one chorus just before we read from the Bible tonight. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him. All because Jesus first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it just one more time? Oh, I Who I love him, all because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you say, I love you, Jesus? I love you, Jesus. Praise God. You can be seated. Appreciate all of you being here tonight. Really appreciate Brother Atlin and being here, Brother Gonzalo, him being here with us, and some of the others being here with us tonight. We appreciate you. Been trying to get a few things together today for the work of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Don's been calling some in Canada, trying to get something lined up at Six Nations and setting the flag in Canada. And I think he's got a little more calling or a little tour work to do there and writing letters or whatever. And we might be able to get up into that area and do something for God up there. He says he believes God will work it out for us. Others in different places are working with us. They want us to come to Centralia, Illinois. Brother Mark is really pressing on us and pleading, saying, please come, Brother Pye. Said, this revelation of Jesus Christ, I've got a hold of it, and I feel like a little boy since I come to know this wonderful knowledge of Jesus. Said it just, he says he just wants to get it so bad. And let's pray that God will help us. Think maybe Brother Terrell is fixing to set his tent down in your area, Brother Alley, down in Panama City. But anyway, we had a wonderful meeting down there where Brother Atlee was at, not too far from Panama City. Chapter 4, let's read just a little bit of this, and I'll talk with you, and I'll try not to hold you long tonight. We've had quite a bit of singing, but let me exhort you just a little bit with God's Word. You know, this Word is so beautiful. It's so astoundingly wonderful and rich. It's words of life, and the more you read it, the more you learn about it, the more you think on it, the more glorious and wonderful it becomes. We was just talking about it before we come up here down there in the basement. Brother Ron, myself, Chuck, some of the others. And it was just joy unspeakable and full of glory. So here it is. It says in chapter 4, but in the last days. Now right there. The last days. In the last days. I wonder what he means in the last days. Somebody said, what does he mean the last days? Well, I believe he was talking about the days that we're in right now. Now, you know, I'd love to just ask the question, how many of you really believe that this is the last days? Do you really believe that, or you believe there are going to be quite a few more? How many of you believe that this is the last days? I really believe it's the last days. I really believe that. Now, it might not be, but I believe that it is. Everything to me points to the last days. See, the last days. But in the last days it shall come to pass. What will come to pass in the last days? See, what's going to happen in the last days? Let's see what he's talking about. The prophet in Micah here, he's speaking. But in the last days, he's got a vision. He's looked ahead. He's done seen something. There's something out ahead. Micah's caught a vision of it. He's done seen it. I've done seen it, Micah said. I'm a prophet. I'm looking out yonder. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Somebody said it's going to get tighter and get tighter, and Brother Pike is getting to where nobody loves God and nobody cares for the things of God, and they're going to quit, and they're just not going to do anything at all. Brother Pike, you know, it's just going to get to where it's just going to be two or three. No, you got the wrong kind of vision. See, it says, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth and for even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pains have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city. And thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let her eyes look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thrash, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hoofs brass. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. You know, in speaking of this, he says that in the last days that the house of God will be established. The house of the Lord shall be established. So then we say things is getting worse and worse, and less people want to love God and less people care about God. That's not right. It's not right. See, a lot of people care about God. Many people care about God. But what's causing the shortage is that there are so many false teachings, false doctrines. There are so many people preaching things that does not come from the Word of God. And it has the people confused, and it has the people frustrated, and people are driven away, and people are driven out, and people don't know what to do, and they don't know what to say. See, and the devils and demons are closing in more and more, and the days are getting darker and darker. What is this? The Bible said, "In gross darkness shall cover the people. There shall come forth a gross darkness, and that shall cover the people." What kind of darkness is it? Intellectual reasoning, the height of education, men in their own reasoning, talents and skills. All of these things shall rise up and swallow up the people. And they shall become more interested in this than the Word of God. But see, the Bible said when Satan has literally worn the saints of God out, then all of a sudden the saints will take on a new courage. All of a sudden they'll take on a new strength. All of a sudden something different will happen. And the saints of God shall rise up, and the Bible said they shall take the kingdom and they shall possess it forever and forever. You know, the other day as we walked down the streets of Dolorosa over in Jerusalem, we lifted our voice up saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the time is fulfilled, the desolation there is at hand." Brought back the flag from Israel and flew it here at Little Bethlehem. God was doing something. Something outstanding was taking place. After this, I understand that three rabbis, a priest, or whatever they were, they come down the streets of Dolorosa carrying a cross. After that, we'd walk down the streets of Jerusalem prophesying in the name of the Lord according to what he told us to do. Here we look, and we see them coming down the street. That is to say, not while we were there, but others that are here, they said they saw it on TV. So then we see something is taking place. What is this that is taking place? I believe that it is the last days. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, how can you prove that this is the last days? First of all, I can prove it like this. The Bible said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon your sons and upon your daughters, and they shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And in that day, I will pour out of my spirit upon my handmaids, upon all flesh in the last days. It's evident that God has been pouring out His Spirit in a great way. That proves that it's the last days. And here He gives us something concerning the last days, which to me is really the final winding up. Because He's not just speaking of the last days of the days that we're in right now. But God is speaking of the millennium. He's speaking of the establishing of the house of God. He's speaking of bringing in everlasting righteousness and sealing up that of the Most Holy and anointing the Most Holy to the kingship. Here it is obvious that God is saying that in the last days, I'll do something special. Daniel spoke of this many years ago. And Daniel said, it shall come to pass that in the last days, they that know their God shall do great and mighty exploits. A person that really knows their God. Everybody doesn't know their God. They know about God, but they don't really know their God. But he said, in the latter times, they that know their God, that's really acquainted with their God, that understands the ways of their God, that's relating to their God, that these will be specially anointed and specially moved by the power and the unction and the knowledge of God, and these shall do great and mighty exploits. And so then there's a time now that you can get into the move of God, into the Spirit of God. You know, you say that ship's going to do great exploits. It's going out into foreign waters. But you can get in the stream of God, and you can get in the move of God, and God will send you way out into the foreign waters, and you can do great exploits, not only here in America, but all over the world. And you can do it not only in your thinking as you are now, but God can take you way out into the spiritual deep. And he can bring forth the revelation of Jesus Christ. Like the brother that wrote from Centralia, Illinois. He said, Brother Pike, I have been praying that God would give unto me the spirit of revelation. I wonder how many people here at Bethlehem are actually praying that God will grant unto them the spirit of revelation. I wonder how many people at Bethlehem are actually concerned about the spirit of revelation. I wonder how often I pray, you pray, we pray, asking God to heal here, or God to save here, God to heal the afflicted, God to forgive the sins of the people. I wonder how many times we pray and we say, God, move out around throughout the areas of Winder and Monroe and Atlanta, Georgia and Athens. God, move in these areas. God, shake these people up, and God, convert these people to Christ. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe in anything like that. I don't believe it would do any good. But you know, over in Bombay, we fasted and prayed before God, and we talked to God, and we prayed like this. We stood right there on the platform, in the open platform that they had there, and I said, oh God, I said, move out around this area. And I said, God, go into the homes and go into all of these places, and God, convert these people right in their bedroom, and God, open up their hearts and stir these people in the things of God. And did you know that we had people to testify that God was moving around in the area, and we had a woman to come that was a devout Catholic woman, a sober-minded woman of high degree, a woman that was of reputation, and she'd come over there to the missions, and she was just praising God and going on like would be a wild woman. I mean, she shook up the woman at the mission. She shook my wife up. She shook us all up. She come over there praising God. And I mean, she was just having a jubilee. I don't mean coming over there in a religious sort of way, but she was coming over and she just couldn't hardly keep herself together. She just had so many words flowing, nobody could talk, nobody could do anything because she had too much to say. And she was just grinning from ear to ear, and she said, "Oh, this wonderful thing has happened to me. It's happened to me. This wonderful thing's happened to me. God's coming to me. God's filled me with His Spirit." It's on and on and on, going on like that. And you know, all I could do was listen. And so this woman just carried away. And her neighbors thought she had lost her mind. And some of the neighbors run over there and grabbed her. She said, "I'm not crazy. I'm not lost my mind." She said she was standing out on the veranda somewhere, said, "And this thing happened to me." She said, "It happened to me." And she was trying to tell everybody, trying to tell me, you know, like maybe we didn't understand. And she was just bubbling with joy. And my wife said, "I never talked to nobody like her in my life." So then this woman, she was just literally carried away. And I said, "Well, tell us what happened to you." And she said, "Well, I was just there minding my own business. And said, this great thing happened to me. Said, something come down on me. And said, God just filled me with His Spirit. And said, I'm happy. Said, I'm filled with the Spirit of God. I'm saved." All kind of things she was saying, you know, about God. And I thought, well, glory to God. There's the answer to prayer. Lord, go out into Winder, and God, do something in Winder. God, go out over here in Atlanta, Georgia, and God, do something in Atlanta, Georgia. And God, go out into Athens, and God, do something in Athens. And God, move through the areas of Monroe, and do something in Monroe. Somebody say these Monroans, you can't do nothing with them. I'll tell you what, if you pray, God will do something with the Monroans. Praise God. I've been praying that God will get some of that rottenness out of the police force out of there and get some of that rottenness out of the businessmen. And businessmen and went this way and that way. And they got the GBI down here and all kinds of things is happening. And storage houses has fell in and trucks has turned over. And businessmen have had to quit and give up. And policemen were shot and some of them killed. And God's put better ones in. God's done something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's done something. Some of them come out here pouncing on us and causing us trouble. And I told some of them, I said, "If you don't stay away from Bethlehem and leave me alone and leave my people alone," I said, "God's going to plow your fields and God's going to tear you up." And I told them publicly here in the streets, and I told them publicly in the courthouses and in the businesses and in the banks and wherever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Alvin up there told me, he said, "You shot that banker, slap out of the saddle." I tell you what, I told him what God would do, and God did it too. And here's the thing, folks, if we'll pray and if we'll do what God tells us and if we'll love the Lord, God will change everything. I mean everything, God will change it. The Bible said He'll make your enemies be at peace with you. He'll make them that come against you come and kneel before you. He'll put the fear of you upon all the people. And if you'll have the love of God and be concerned about their souls, you'll see the people of Monroe converted. If you'll fast a little bit and pray a little bit and love a little bit and let them see a light out here, God will do something about it. You know, I had that vision where the people of Monroe and the different areas, they looked around and they were talking one to another, and I heard them talking in secret in the vision. And they said, "Folks, said we've been mistaken about that place out there that's called Little Bethlehem. Said we've been mistaken about that place. Said we've had the wrong outlook toward them people. Said that's a good thing that we got out there." Hallelujah. And now the papers want to be apologetic and some of the others want to do differently, you know. And you know some of the reason? Because Brother Pike's got some things down here on the safe locked up concerning some of the leaders here in Monroe, in the county, and some of the leaders over yonder in the state. God had me at the right place at the right time and had them to say the wrong things, and I got it and I locked it up down yonder. And I've had them to come out here, even the reporters from the paper, and said, "Brother Pike, would you?" I said, "I sure will not." They said, "But the man said he made a mistake." I said, "I'm sorry, it's for our records. He can't have it." So then here's the thing, folks. God will bless us and God will give us the upper hand and God will change the things around. And God will make the thing go right. Somebody said, "I don't believe that." That's what's wrong with you right now. We're supposed to believe that. See, we're supposed to be people that love God. Am I evangelistic? Am I a preacher? Am I concerned about people? Or am I just concerned about me and my people? Am I concerned just about Bethlehem or I'm concerned about the world? Folks, ever since God ever saved me, I've been concerned about the world. I spent a lot of time here preaching, a lot of time talking to you people at Bethlehem because I love you and I want God to do something for you. And when I say what I'm about to say, it doesn't apply to all of you, though all of you have the opportunity. But God has raised up Bethlehem that He may make them the head of the move of God in the last day. He raised up Bethlehem that He might have a group of people, not all of you now, but a group of people that He was going to bring out of Bethlehem that was going to be the head of the move of God throughout the entire world. And that's why that I've ministered to you the way I have. Just like yesterday, I ministered 6 solid hours to some of the brethren without stopping. And I said, brethren, do you think that God is talking to you for 6 solid hours without having anything in mind? When other people are begging to get a little bit of bread, and other people are looking for just a crumb, and other people out yonder are saying, come and preach the gospel to us, and other people are saying, God, say something to us, or send a preacher to us, and here God talks to you for 6 solid hours, don't you know that God has got something in mind? God is doing something. God has got some women at Bethlehem. Some of these women are the first ladies of the entire world. Amen. And God's got some men here. And some of these men are the first men, the gentlemen, the first men of the entire world. And God is using you and you. Not all of you, but those that God has brought together for this purpose. He's using you to be elevated, to be illuminated, to become spiritually intelligent, to open your minds above all the people of the world, and to lift you up and to magnify you that you may be God's people. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. It's not exciting me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the others. I'm talking about them that love God. Somebody said, well, don't get excited, Brother Pike. Glory to God, I'm already excited. I'm excited. Oh, I'm excited. I holler and I scream because I'm excited. See, I'm excited because I'm part of it. I'm involved in it. You're not excited because you're not part of it. You're not involved in it. Glory to God, it's just like Gonzalo back there. I'm pretty sure that when he was tennis champion and he was coming up and that was the desire of his heart, he probably hollered and screamed a little bit when they all got around and said, our champ, he probably was hollering too. And I'll tell you what, at a ball game, at a race or anything else, brother, when you become the champion and when you become the headpiece and when you become the leaders, then that means there's something to holler about. So you ain't going to stop me from hollering anyway. See, the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins. So then here we are. What are we doing? See, what am I doing? What are you doing? Am I concerned about India? Why is it I'm not concerned about India? The people are begging us to come to India. People there beg for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus. You know, why is it that you're not excited about India? Look, folks, here's the problem. I don't know what I'm going to do about my light bill. I can't pay on my car. I think I need a better car. Let's build us a home. Let's get us another little piece of ground. Oh, let's make way for our babies and our wife. And let's settle down and build good little people. Let's try to get some money in the bank. And can't you get a little more money? Honey, can't we get to... You need to get all of that out of your mind. The Bible said it's no time to plant vineyards and to build houses. It's time to do something for God. If you're going to plant a field, you need to plant it for God to feed the hungry. If you're going to build a house, you need to build a house of God. If you're going to do anything, you need to buy something or get something that you can use for the glory of God. If you don't have that in mind, you need to forget about it. And give what you got to the poor, to the preacher, to somebody, to do something with it. Because all that you're doing is driving yourself insane in trying to get ahead and trying to get something that you're never going to own and you're never going to possess. Just like today, we got a letter from the banker. And the banker wrote an apologetic letter. The letter says, I'm sorry about this. But if you've got any money in the bank and whatever, now then the government, the robbers, the thieves that Jesus spoke of, they're closing in for the kill again. Now then, he said, they've decided that they're going to take 10% of your credit, so whatever it is in your interest or whatever. I'm sorry, the banker said, that they're going to do that. That is, you put $1,000 up there, $10,000 up there, and whatever you were supposed to get, you know, the banker is sorry to inform you that they informed him that he must inform you that there's no need to worry about it. They took what you were supposed to get. Somebody said, well, what is that for? That's for them. That's what it's for. Everything they do is for them. You know why it's for them? Because they're a bunch of liars and thieves. That's what it is. Jesus said to thieves, rob ye. IRS is a bunch of liars and a bunch of thieves. That's what they are. They're worse than the underworld. Somebody said, boy, you better not say that. I done said it. They are a bunch of liars and they're a bunch of thieves. And all they do is leech off of the people and rob the people and take everything that God's got in trying to do something out here to win the world. Thieves and robbers, Jesus said, that's what they are. It's non-constitutional. The pastors hate it. The people hate it. The president hate it. All of them hates it. But why in the world don't they get together and do something about the thieves and get rid of them? They tell me people like Rockefellers never paid any income tax. Now, I might say, bless God, they'll have you in prison for preaching against the income tax. I'm not preaching against the income tax. Jesus said, give the bunch of thieves what belongs to them. He said, go ahead and give Herod or Pharaoh or whatever it is, whatever it belongs to them. Said, whose inscription is this on there? They told him who it was. He said, well, give it to him. Said, it belongs to him. Now, he said, lest we offend some of them. You understand what I'm saying? See, God isn't for that bunch of thieves and robbers. And someday God is going to get rid of them. And he said, Peter, let me tell you something. And he didn't say it in these words, but this is what it added up to. He said, are they taking taxes of their own people? He said, are they taking taxes from strangers? Peter reasoned the thing out like this. Well, I don't belong to this world. I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. Jesus said, well, the children are free, but go ahead and give it to them anyway. But someday I'll bring them into the supreme courts of God, and that bunch of thieves and robbers, when I get through, they won't bother my people anymore. Somebody say hallelujah. So then, here's the thing. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to preach the gospel? Are we going to lift up our voice to God? Are we going to take the kingdoms for God? Is the house of God going to be established? Are people going to look in the right direction? Are they going to hear the right things? But I'm afraid they'll hurt me, Brother Pike. I'm afraid they will too. They hurt them back in the dark age, and they crucified Jesus, and they killed the apostles, and they stoned Stephen. I have a pretty good idea that if you stand for anything, that you might get a few bumps too. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then I believe in telling the truth. I believe that you ought to tell me the truth. And I believe that I ought to tell you the truth. Like a man that stood down here, one of them from up here in the state, was trying to tell me about the preachers and the different ones trying to take the people's money. I said, it ain't that. I said, that ain't the ones that's doing it. I said, it's a crooked bunch up there that's taking the people's money. I said, that's what it is. I said, they're the ones that's closing in on the people. What right has any man got to come and tell me that I'm supposed to give him for what I work? The Bible said that which is mine is lawful for me to do what I will with it, and I don't will to give it to him. I will give it to him because God said give it to him to keep from offending him. But I don't have any will or desire to give it to him. It's mine. I'd rather give it to that little hungry girl over yonder in India. I'd rather walk down the street as me and Mike and some of the brethren, Brother Jerry, Brother Floyd and others, and see that little hand come up to me and put something in that little mouth right there and feed it. I don't feel like feeding a bunch of dogs and swines and thieves out there that's wallowing around in the cesspool of iniquity and going out there with their filth and defiling the women, defiling the children, and thieving around and vomiting up their vomit and lapping their vomit. I don't care for that kind of thing. And I got a feeling there's a whole lot of people that feel the same way I do. They might not never say it like me, but at least they feel that way. Now, so then, I believe that we ought to rise up, folks. Be loving, be kind, be sure, be pure. Do the right thing. Love the people. Try to reach the people. Try to help the people. But have enough understanding to realize that you're dealing with a bunch of devils out there and a bunch of thieves and a bunch of robbers out there. And have enough understanding to remember that God's going to do something about it. But the thing is, stick to the gospel. Somebody said, let's get back to the gospel. Well, I'm still in the gospel. Praise God, I'm still in the gospel. So then here we are. What are we going to do? If we pray and if we believe, God will shake Monroe as sure as you're living. When we first come here and they started pouncing on us, I started to pray and I said, God, shake this place. And God sent about, I believe it was about 7 tornadoes in here at one time. And he shook it until he literally shook the brick buildings down round about. He killed some people in here. He shook the police up in here. He shook all of them up in here. And come Monday morning when all of these tornadoes left over the weekend, I got a special letter from the sheriff saying, welcome to Monroe County. I'll tell you what, when God gets through, he can change things around. And I believe we ought to do something. I mean, I believe we ought to do something. You know, like the lepers. The lepers said, why are we going to sit here and die, folks? Why are we going to do that? Let's be up and be about our Father's business. Let's do something. After all, if a man's going to knock my brains out, let him hit me on the run. I just sit there and let him beat on my head. I want to do something for God. Those lepers said, there ain't no need to sit around like this, you Bethlehemites. Said, we're just going to die out here. Let's do something for God. Let's be up and be about our Father's business. You know, I noticed over there in the Holy Land as we travel, I thought about the prophets. We went over to Rachel's tomb and we went down to Hebron. There we went to Absalom's tomb and we went to Abraham's and to Sarah's and Isaac and all these other things, to David's tomb. You know, and my mind went back to these people. You know, in the time of desperation, in the time of need, God helped these people. God done great things for these people. And yet there were people just like we are. My mind went back to Elijah. And the Bible said Elijah, he was a man of like passion, the same as I am. He had the same problems I have. He had to fight the same devilish thoughts I fight. He had the same opposition of the world out there that I have. Wasn't no difference in it. But the Bible said he prayed to God. He prayed earnestly to God. He said, God of heaven, hear me. And he said, God, we don't need no rain down here. I want to get rid of Jezebel and her bunch. Don't let it rain down here. I'll perish him to death. Just don't let nothing come down. And the Bible said for 3 years and 6 months, Jezebel didn't know what to do and Ahab didn't know what to do. Their cattle was dying. He's on the verge of starvation. And then when they got ready to take a bow to Elijah, God said to the man of God, said, go on over there. They're ready to listen to you now. They were a little prejudiced before, you know. Said, but you're going over there now. They're ready to listen at you. You know, that's the way it was down in Egypt. God said, Moses, go down there and talk to that leader down there. He went down there and the leader booted him out and said, we don't want none of you, Moses. God said, that's all right, just wait a few more days. A few more days, God killed frogs and God killed cattle, and there was such a stink and rottenness down there till all of his dignity was gone, and he couldn't smell any perfume anywhere. And when they served the table with the dainties, he didn't feel like eating. And Moses went down there and said, come on in, Moses, let's have a chat. Done got down to earth and come down to Moses' size. See, God knows what to do, folks. God knows what to do. And if we walk with God and if we do what God tells us to do and if we pray, God will do something about our situation. It doesn't matter if it's just your situation individually or it's a surrounding situation. You love the Lord? Praise God. Now then, I remember that old mean queen of years ago. John Knox prayed. You know, she was one of these that had a way about things. The kings of that day, they had their way about things. They pounced on the Christians. They'd done it any old way. You know, they could take the land. But old brother John Knox said, I think I'll pray. And he began to pray. He said, I think I'll pray some more. And according to history, he prayed some more. And he said, I think I'll pray some more. And he prayed some more. And after a while, the queen got like that. And history says she made the statement, said, I'd just rather go out to war. I'd just rather go to battle and fight the alien armies than to hear that man pray or to have him pray against me. I wish he'd stop praying. And you know, according to history, she just as much as said, y'all leave him alone. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with him. We'll do our fighting over here, but don't mess with that fella. The history says that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than she feared the alien powers. More than the alien powers. Folks, the people of little Bethlehem would pray. it would shake up the world. There's people here that love God. There's people here that's clean and holy. Say, well, it ain't got nothing to do with what you think. The Bible said, can your unbelief make God's faith of none effect? The Bible said, I'm sanctified by God's faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not what you think about it in your religious doctrines and convictions about it. It's what God says about it in His Word. And God says we're without spot and we're without wrinkle and we're without blemish. And nobody can lay anything to our charge. If we would pray and pray and pray and pray. Pray in the morning. Pray in the night time. Pray all the time. Glory to God. And the Bible said meditate in the laws of God day and night. Not this little old 15 minutes. Lay me down to sleep and God get me up in time to make another dollar. Not that kind of prayer. Not that thing you sit down to eat and say, thank you, Jesus. You know, and you can't stand it long enough till you get the biscuit in your mouth. Now, see, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you close your eyes and say, Lord, I need to pray. Lord, help me. You know, and you open your eyes and you say, did y'all ever get things ready? We got to go to town. We got to buy something today. We got to go somewhere. Got to get Six Flags. Got to do something. I'm not talking about that. Somebody said, turn on the television. Pass them love stories. Get me them books. I ain't talking about that. But I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about living godly. I'm talking about being clean in your mind. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. You say, oh my God, I love you. Jesus, help me. Lord, will you help me? I don't know how I'm going to pay the bill. I don't know. I'm about to go crazy over this situation. I just don't know where I'm going to get money, 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 money. I'm not talking about that. When we spend all of our time, all of our thinking, all of our ways, thinking about money and our problems and thinking about our children and thinking about everything else. You know, and we go around shaking like a leaf on a tree. Somebody says, I got the worst pain. I got the worst pain. I guess I'm dying. I guess I got cancer. It must be heart trouble. I never had a pain like this. And I think, no, I tell you what, you're eating more and more and getting bigger than a balloon. It's no wonder you got pains. That if you just be normal and eat like a normal person, share some of it with the starving people, you wouldn't have all them kind of pains. I might say, I just can't stay in church. I can't keep my eyes open. I know it because we ain't talking about money. We ain't talking about worldly gain. Somebody said, the sermon seems so long. I know that. You know, I know that because you can't get your mind away from the world. I might say, just let me back into Egypt. Give me them garlic and onions. Let me get back up to where I had my little piece of ground and my wife and my children. Why, you hypocrite, what you need to do is get born again. That's all's wrong with you. Somebody said, I got problems, Brother Pike. Your problems is hypocrisy in you. If you'd pray a little bit and get your face straightened out a little bit, have a little confidence in God, and spend a little time with God, you'd be all right. If a person never spends any time with God, how in the name of reasoning they're going to have any faith? Man said, this won't help me in Bethlehem. It won't do nothing for me. They've done something for you for a solid year and you ain't done nothing to reward it, to be grateful. And it's a bunch of people out there that just won't, you know, and won't and won't. You hypocrite, you need to get straightened out. You need to get yourself a job. You need to act like a man or you need to act like a woman. You woman, you wife that sits around and listen to that, you ought to just rise up and get in your husband's face and say you are a poor example of a human being, let alone a husband. And if you're too lazy to work, I'll get a job and see if I can take care of you till you can do better. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know, this is the way it is, folks. This is the truth. You know, that's the way it is. And a woman just sat around all the time. We're in despair. Nobody won't help us. You know, and she gossips and she backbites and she finds fault. And she's just a busybody in everybody's matters and nobody loves her. Like somebody wrote me a letter the other day. God have mercy on people like this. They wrote me a letter and they said, dear Brother Pike, said, I know that this is going to hurt you more than it does me. Said, I won't never be back to Bethlehem no more because I know you don't want me out there. And I thought, what in the world is he talking about? And then I found out who it was. And I thought, well, sure, I want the man out here. I love the man. Why is it that I don't want him out there? I ain't never done nothing to him. You know? Now, what is this, folks? You know what it is? I had a vision of the man, and the man was bound up. He was locked up in his bowels. He was locked up. He was like a freak. That's what's wrong with him. That's what's wrong with a lot of people here. Paul said, I count all my learning as dung. You have got so bound up in your system, in your intellectual reasoning, until you're bound up like a freak. And you need a good dose of God's medicine to work your system out and get the garbage out of your system and get you away from the garbage can and stop you from eating out of the garbage can and get you back to God's table and get you away from eating the husk of the swine. You need a good thing to work your system out and you'll be all right. Sometimes I'll be sitting around, I go to tell Brother Taylor, I go to talk to somebody about something, you know, and when I go to say something, somebody's mind, I'll pick it up. He's backbiting. And I think, well, you hypocrite, it ain't been but a day or two ago that you just blasted somebody to me. And then you're sitting there in your self-righteousness judging me. You know, the Bible said, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. He don't have to forsake his deeds. When a man gets bad enough to do deeds, he's wicked. But in thinking wrong, he's unrighteous. You know, you'll sit and judge somebody. Now listen at me, folks. You will sit and judge somebody in your mind. You'll sit there and you'll think, nah, she didn't do that right. I don't, you know. And over you'll go. Now what are you doing? See, now what are you doing? You are in a self-righteous, hypocritical condition. You are judging that people or that person or those people on the basis of your little finite thinking. And you're not looking to God and saying, my God, I'm undone. I don't have any right to judge your servants. That's another man's servants, and I need to keep my thinking to myself. Sometimes I use an illustration. And I'll say, Brother Taylor and this brother, and then somebody comes in. I said, something happened about this brother. We'll use him for an example. And somebody sitting around said, he done said that one time about him. Here he goes. He's going to say that again about him. Now, I could take it the first time, you know, but nothing. It ain't none of your business. The first time, the second time, or the third time, you ain't got no business butting in to start with. You need to keep your thoughts to yourself. That's my business. And I'm talking to God. And I'm talking about who I feel like talking about in the way that I feel like talking about him. Just like one physician talking to another physician for the condition of the patient. Now, but if I sit there, or you sit there, we sit there and we're judging somebody, we're listening to something and we're judging somebody, what business right do we have to let our thoughts judge that person about what they're saying or what they're thinking? Somebody said, well, what they're saying ought not to be said. Well, you ought not to be there to listen at it if it ain't ought not to be said. You ain't got no business listening at nothing it ought not to be said. Somebody said, well, I know they're talking about them things that's done in secret out there. Well, Paul said, well, you get out of there. Because the Bible said you shouldn't even speak of them things that's done in secret. And it's for sure you shouldn't listen at them. See, so you're the busybody. Why don't you have the brass on your face, as the world says, or enough intestinal fortitude or what God has placed in you to rise up and say, see here, sister, see here, brother, why are you doing that? That ain't right. Why can't you just say, that ain't right, my brother? If you that are spiritual sees you see your brother or sister overtaken in the fall, ye that are spiritual restore such one, and that in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves lest ye be tempted also. See, don't sit around in evil surmise in your mind. Don't do that. Don't sit there with your evil surmising about what you think. Don't come into the house of God and do that. I've got men and women that come in here that's been in here right this very night. You come in here and you sit here with your evil surmising, knowing that God don't like it. And I say, yeah, you go back to your wallowing in the mire and the dog licking his vomit. And somebody, that ain't very becoming for a preacher. See, what do you know about a preacher? You don't even know about God, let alone a preacher. That's what Jesus said about it. He said the dog would go back to the wallowing in the mire. How is it that you're such a goody-goody person? And the Bible said some of you women, you know, you get in such a delicate condition that you wouldn't adventure to set the sole of your foot upon the ground to go outside barefooted. You get so delicate. You get so outstanding. God despises that kind of thing. That's why he sent a man like John the Baptist, who was probably barefooted when he come up. You know, to get some of these people out of the stiff, starchy ways of life and let them come down to a level of learning that there's starving people in the world and common people in the world and people that need a helping hand in the world. And while they sit there with their stiff, starchy ways and their feminine, ungodly mannerism, that folks are starving to death, that they need to do something about it. Folks, forgive me if I'm hollering at you. I don't mean to holler at you. I'm just hollering. So then, here's the thing. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people of their sins. See, he said, they act like they haven't done any wrong. They delight in approaching unto me. They think everything's all right. And they say, well, we've even fasted, Lord. But he said, they ain't live right. They ain't live right. Now, I'm going to say a few more things and I'm going to close. Really, I am. See, what I'm trying to impress upon you, don't come into the church and sit there with your evil surmising is what a preacher's supposed to be or what a preacher's supposed to say. What if I jumped over this pulpit and grabbed a whip and began to turn the benches over and pop the whip and say, get out of here, you made my father's house a place of money changes. Somebody for sure say, boy, that couldn't be no preacher. But Jesus, he did that. He didn't jump over a sacred desk, but he did that. And then besides that, Brother Branham, you know, they said, couldn't be a preacher, but I've heard where he jumped up on top of the sacred desk. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know a preacher. I was sitting and watching him. He was a sober, sound-minded, a very intelligent person. And I sat there and watched him preach. And he was in a big denominational church, a big brick church. And he preached until he preached himself up on the top of the sacred desk and was standing right on the top of it just preaching away. I've seen others that be preaching. I've been out there when they'd be preaching and be back here and it wind up like this and take a running start, leap, slap over the thing in the front and out in the yard as they come. I've seen them right here in this very place right here wind up like a ball player and then turn, shoo, all the way around. See, you don't know what God's going to do. I don't either. David said, I've run through a troop and I've leaped over a wall. I don't know what God's going to do. You know, whatever they do, that's their business. Like the man that told me he climbed the pole to get the people's attention. I've never been able to get their attention like that because I can't climb like that. But that's the way he did it. You know, that's his business. But there's one thing that I do say, whether he climbs poles or jumps benches or whatever he does, I'm not going to sit there with evil surmising, saying, well, I don't know about a preacher. I'm just going to get up and leave. When that fella took a running start from back over here and he jumped that thing, I got to laughing so hard, I just got up and left. Because I knew I was out of order. And it was for sure I couldn't get in his order. So I just left. Now, see, I'm just simply saying one thing, folks. We don't need to judge somebody else. If I'm sitting here judging you in my mind, what am I judging you by? What is my means of measurement? What is my absolute? What am I basing this on? I'm basing it on the fact that I feel like I've done pretty good and I've got my ideas about things and what the way I've lived in life and what I've been taught, I feel like you don't measure up to it. A self-righteous hypocrite. See, what you need to do is be looking to God and measuring yourself by God and saying, my God, Lord, I'm so short of it. I've got to trust in your righteousness. This is my only hope. Oh, Lord, help me. And Father, what's happening over here? I don't understand it. You know, it's not my way of understanding. But Lord, if my brother's in error, help him. It's for sure that I can't judge him. He's your servant. It's for sure I can't measure him by me because I keep measuring me by you and I'm so undone. I don't know what to do. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, let's use righteous judgment. Don't be judges that have evil thoughts. Like a brother told me today, come to me and he repented today. And I am going to close. The brother come to me and repented today because he told me that he told somebody something that he thought that I was supposed to say about the man. And I said, but brother, I said, explain it to me. He said, well, this is what I thought. I said, brother, I didn't have no such thoughts toward a man. I didn't say nothing like that about the man. I said, the brother said, well, you was talking about somebody. I said, yeah, but not about him. I said, it didn't have nothing to do with him. I didn't think about him in this way. And the brother told me, he said, well, I just tell you what. He said he was thinking the wrong thought. He said, I hope God will forgive me. And I told the brother, and the brother's a good brother, he confessed he was wrong. But I said, this is where the problem is. People take on what they feel to be discernment. And they think they're discerning something. And they think they know when they don't know. Now, discernment is real. It's real. And the Bible said Jesus perceived their thoughts. And you can perceive their thoughts. You can do that. You know, but just to take it on yourself, to think that you've got discernment because this brother said that, you figure he's talking about this fella. When he might not even be thinking about that fellow, let alone talking about that fellow. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. See? In other words, I'm simply saying one thing. Why aren't we touching Monroe? Why is it that we're not touching Atlanta, Georgia? Why is it that we're not touching Athens and other places? Why is it that we're not giving our voice over the radios or TVs or in the printed page around the world to do something for God? Why aren't we doing this? Why is it that we're not being able to touch these people? Because we're not seeking God. We're not walking upright before God. We're not loving one another, let alone the people out there. We're not doing anything in the way of sacrifice. We are not concerned about the things of God. Paul said, I have no man concerned about the things of God. You know, not concerned about the things of God. Every man's going his own way, looking to his own quarter for his own gain, letting the house of God lay waste. Jesus said, if you make any money and you bring home anything, I'm going to blow on it. Because you left my house, let my house lay waste. If you bring anything in, though it might be a lot, he said, I will blow upon it. And it'll come to little. He said, I'll make you so miserable that your bed be too short for you. You understand what I'm saying? So then why trouble one another? Why trouble Christ? Why trouble the preacher? Why not love one another? Why not get together with one another? And if you see something in a man's life, go to the man and tell him. Don't be somebody with a wishy-washy sort of a life that you got a backbone like a jellyfish. Go to the sister and tell her. Don't go over here and say, Sister Betty, that sister so-and-so and so-and-so. You're the hypocrite. You need to go over there to the sister and say, Sister, look, now I saw you doing something. And to me now, I might be wrong about it, but to the best of my ability, this is what the Bible says, and the Bible ain't wrong. You know, don't go there with some idea about your religion, whether you're a Baptist, Methodist, or she's Catholic. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Get the Word of God. And go over there and say, Sister, you're wrong about this thing. Let me show it to you in God's Word. And I'll tell you what, you'll win your sister, you'll win your brother, and you'll get together. And I'll tell you what, your light will shine. And the first news you know, these people in Monroe will say, look, would you tell me something about what you got to say? I'm going to say this and try to close. I was up here not too long ago at one of the leading men in Monroe. And he told me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, man, I didn't know you got what you got out there. I mean, he was really sincere about it. He said, I didn't know this thing was a world outreach out there. He said, I thought that you just had a little place out there and had a little group of people with you. He said, I never knew this. He said, and I'll tell you what, I'm persuaded to believe that the people of Monroe think exactly the way I think. I don't believe that they know it. See, how is it, folks, that we don't have enough testimony, enough concern, enough boldness, enough godliness to project the light, to tell them people, to make them understand, rather than run off and pout somewhere and say, well, old Monroans, they don't care about us and we don't care about them. That's always been that way, you know, the red devils and the blue devils. It's always been that way. But we are not the red devils, and I don't believe them's the blue devils. I believe that we are people of God that's supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the Monroans, or every creature, and they are creatures. See, and I believe that if we'll get up and we'll do right out here and we'll keep our lives straight now and we'll keep some of the garbage out from out here, and every time a bunch of dope addicts come running out here, a bunch of hypocrites to cast a shadow on us so them people up there don't know what we're doing, if you'll get all that out and get straightened out, you'll be all right. I talked to the sheriff up here, and me and him talked about God, and we've had good fellowship. I've talked to the bankers, and I've made this statement. The sheriff said, Brother Pike, I've heard many things concerning your people. Said, I have never found them guilty of one of them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The Bible said, when they speak all manner of evil against you for my name's sake, be exceedingly glad and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. Will you stand with me? You know, I would go to the bank and I would borrow a dollar, but ain't no need. I know he wouldn't let me have it. I know he wouldn't. Somebody said, well, why don't you just go up there and ask him? He's a pretty good fellow. No, he'd never let me have it. I know he wouldn't. Well, don't you need it? I need it. Yeah, but ain't no need to go. Somebody said, well, come on, I'll go with you. So he gets him by the hand. He finally builds his courage up, and the man goes up there about half trembling, you know, and he walks in there, and he's half afraid to ask the man. And the banker says, what can I do for you? He said, well, he said, well, sure, we can let you have it. He said, you will? Yeah. See, now that's the way the world is, folks. That's the way the world is. You mean you're really going to let me have it? Yep. Yep, that's what we're up here for. See, we rob ourselves of great, wonderful things because of unbelief. See, go to do something. Go to be something. Go up there to fellowship or whatever. And when you go to fellowship a person, don't go up there with the thoughts, you know, well, I'm a Bethlehemite and they don't like me. I'm Baptist and they don't like me. He's a Presbyterian, a Catholic. That's been all down through the years. He's from the north and I'm from the south, and he's black and I'm white, and he's yellow and they're red. You know, and they're Russian and I'm Chinese. And like the Chinese people, they just said to the American people, no more fellowship, no more fellowship. Somebody said, well, what's that for? And they said, well, you took one of our sports leaders. You didn't give him the right to live in America. We won't fellowship you no more. He was one of our outstanding sports leaders. Ain't that some old garbage? An entire nation with about 1 billion people, 1/3 of the population of the world, they said, away with you, America. You took one of our sports leaders. No more fellowship. God help us. We're like a bunch of silly kids. But the Bible said in that day the house of the Lord will be established. They'll beat their spears into plowshares. And the Bible said in that day you won't need the president, and you won't need the king, and you won't need the lawyers, and you won't need the sheriffs. You won't need the guns, and you won't need the bombs. Won't be any of that. He said, I'll take care of everything, and you can set under your vineyard safely, and you won't have to call the sheriff. He said, you can have what you want, and it'll be over there, and nobody won't bother you. Nothing will harm in all of my holy mountain, saith the Lord. You know why? He'll get rid of the devil. Folks, when we get rid of the devil at Bethlehem, all of the devil's imps will leave. Because you get rid of the devil, and when you get rid of the devil, you automatically get rid of them. And if we love God, God will multiply us, and God will bless us, and God will replenish us, and God will water us like a water garden. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I tell you what, and we'll have a time like we never had in our life. I'm telling you the truth. I feel the Holy Ghost going all through my arm, through my body, racing through me like 440 volts. Just think, God will be with us. And the Bible said, blessed shall thou be in the morning, blessed shall thou be in the evening, blessed shall be the storehouse, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, blessed shall be thy field, blessed, 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 everything ye shall be the blessed of the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I'll give you the desires of your heart. I'll heal all of your sickness. I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll supply all of your needs, everything that you desire. I'll give it to you, saith the Lord. Don't that feel good? Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Well, it's coming down, down, down. It's coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. I feel it, don't you? When the saints began to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. Can you sing it? It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. Can you raise it just a little bit? Let's sing that again, can we? Oh, it's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of my Lord is coming down. When the saints began to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. Sing it now. It's coming down, 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 coming down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints began to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of my Lord is coming down. Can you sing it again? Now, while we're singing this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think for just a minute and say, Lord, do I feel anything? Is there anything out here? Is there anything this what Brother Pike is talking about? If it is, let me feel it too. Okay, while we're singing, let's sing it together now. Oh, it's coming down, down, down. It's coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord coming down. Lift your hands up. Oh, when the saints began to pray, let the good Lord have his way, then the blessings of the Lord is coming down. It's coming down, 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 coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of the Lord is coming down. For when the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, when the glory of the Lord is coming down, it's coming down, 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 it's coming down, down, down. Oh, the latter rain of God, it's coming down. When the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the latter rain's coming down. It's coming down, down, down. The latter rain is coming down. Oh, the glory of the rain is coming down. When the saints begin to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the latter rain comes down. You know, the Bible said God will give you the latter rain and the former rain in the same season. Isn't that right? Okay, let's just take both of the rains, okay? Well, it's coming down, down, down. Both latter and former is coming down. Oh, the latter rain and former rain's coming down. When the saints began to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the former and the latter rain comes down. It's coming down, down, down. Oh, down, down, down. Yes, the glory of the Lord is coming down. And when the saints began to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. You know, the Bible said the glory and the light of the latter house will be greater than that of the former house. Isn't that right? The Jews and the laws was within a veil. That kind of quenched the light a little. But you're the light of the world, and the veil has been rent in twain. And the Bible said, let your light shine to the ends of the earth. Let's sing it one more time. Well, it's coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. Oh, the glory of my Lord is coming down. Oh, when the saints began to pray and let the good Lord have his way, then the glory of the Lord is coming down. Oh, God put a rainbow in my crown. Oh, God put a rainbow. Sing it with me. The light never would shine anymore, but God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Can you sing it with me? Well, God can put a rainbow in your cloud. Oh, God can put a rainbow in your cloud. When it looks like the sun will never shine anymore, God will put a rainbow in your cloud. Sing it with me. Will God put a rainbow in my cloud? Will God put a rainbow in my cloud? Oh, when it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Sing it one more time. Well, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. If it looks like the sun won't shine anymore, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. For God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, when it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow. Just one more time. Oh, I've got a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, I've got a rainbow in my cloud. Well, it looked like my sun wouldn't shine anymore, but I've got a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, do you want a rainbow in your cloud? Oh, do you want a rainbow in your cloud? Well, if it looks like the sun won't shine anymore, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Say it with me. Oh, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Well, it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, but God put a rainbow in my cloud. Can you say hallelujah? I really have got a rainbow in my cloud, folks. I ain't kidding you. I mean, I really got a rainbow in my cloud. You know that cloud that I seen come down out of heaven? Oh, how beautiful it was. Brother Bradley was showing me a picture that they took up yonder when we was at High Point the last time. Strange it should come in today when the Lord had spoke to me about going up there. That very day in that house, I felt a wonderful moving of the Spirit. And I was talking about how old is God, or what is the origin of God. You know, and about that time, something must have happened, because they took a couple of pictures. And that same type light that was down there at the baptism, it seemed to make things fade away. It come on the side of us over here in two pictures that they had right there. It come on the side of it, and it almost took the whole body away except just the head there, as we talked about it. You know, the wonderful cloud of God, that pillar of fire that led them by night and that cloud by day, and you can feel the cloud bringing forth that latter rain. You can do it. You can look up into that heaven and see that wonderful covenant. God saying, be of good cheer. He's saying, don't get afraid, folks. I've not broke my covenant with you. My covenant remains the same. All I want you to do is just remember one thing, and let's sing it again. God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God, put a rainbow in my cloud. Can you sing it? When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God, put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God, put a rainbow in my cloud. For when it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Sing it again now. Well, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God, put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, when it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Hallelujah. God put a rainbow in my cloud. I want you to lift your hands up one more time. If you've got that covenant tonight, you've got a rainbow in your cloud. You know what your cloud is? Somebody said, I'll cloud up and rain all over you. It's your spirit. It's your spirit. You know what the rainbow is? That rainbow is that lovely covenant, even Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that wonderful, wonderful sevenfold blessing of that church age rainbow that stretches out over your soul. You know, they say white's got every color in it. And that garment of righteousness, beautiful white garment. And on the inside is white as snow. That rainbow is in your cloud. Oh, brother, if you've got a rainbow in your cloud, everything is all right. Everything's going to be all right because you've got His covenant. We sing that song, everything's going to be all right. Everything really is going to be all right. If you've got that in your soul, everything's going to be all right. Tonight, I want you to ask the Lord this question before we dismiss tonight. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, do I have a rainbow in my cloud tonight? Lord, do I have a rainbow in my cloud? Do I really have that covenant? Oh, Lord, do I have that rainbow tonight? If so, Lord, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Glory to God, it's so wonderful. See, if you got Jesus, you don't have any worries, folks. You don't have any problems. You pass from death unto life. You don't have to worry about coming to condemnation. You don't have to worry about anything. You know why? Because you got God. You got God. You got God in your heart. We're going to sing this little chorus together. Everything's going to be all right. And while we're singing this, I'm going to give you a chance to come around the altar just for a few minutes tonight. And then we're going to dismiss. Let's sing this together, can we? Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right since Jesus came and saved my soul. Everything's gonna be all right. Let's sing it together. So let us praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. I want to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So I want to praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. I'm going to praise Him. I want to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him when the sun is going down. Oh, let me love Him, love Him, love Him in the morning and love Him at the noontime. I want to love Him. I'm going to love Him when the sun goes down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down, oh, heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down on me. So let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you want to praise Jesus tonight? Let's love God tonight. Let's praise God tonight. Let's let the Spirit of God come down upon us tonight. Folks, you're living oracles tonight. Testimonies of God tonight. The wonderful Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal body tonight. Let that Spirit be in you tonight that was also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home, it was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Sing it with me. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, they're coming to carry me home. Don't you feel real religious? Real religious? Praise God. You can't get around Jesus without feeling real religious. And I mean with true, old-fashioned Holy Ghost religion. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. To love Him, to praise Him, to believe Him. What a wonderful thought. You love Him tonight. I want you to lift up your hands tonight if you love Him. You know what? If you're sick tonight, you don't have to be sick tonight. If you're bound tonight, you don't have to be bound tonight. If you need deliverance tonight, you can have deliverance tonight. If you got problems tonight, God will move in problems tonight. I promise you God will do it in Jesus' name. Folks, if you'll get in while the water's troubled tonight, God will move those problems. And God will restore you tonight. And God will give you the desires of your heart tonight. And you'll find the blessings and power and Spirit of God moving in your life. All you've got to do is let that faith go to God tonight. Just lean on God tonight. Forget about your human reasoning tonight. Lean not to your understanding tonight. Forget about your reasoning tonight, folks. And just trust Him with all of your heart tonight. Trust Him with all of your mind tonight. Just forget about your reasoning tonight. And love the Lord with all of your heart tonight. I feel the moving of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? Can you say glory to God, glory to God, glory to God? Can you say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah? Can you say glory to God, glory to God, glory to God? Can you praise the Lord tonight? Can you lift up your hearts tonight? Can you lift up your souls tonight? God wants to bless you tonight. God wants to heal you tonight. God will do something for you tonight. If you'll turn loose tonight and bless God and praise God and quit leaning to your own understanding tonight, God will heal your body tonight. God will take away the bondage tonight. And God will take away all of the oppression that you feel. All of that darkness that you feel. All of the weights that you feel. God will take them away tonight. All you've got to do is lift up your voices to God. 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 God is the high priest of your confession tonight. God is the high priest of your confession tonight. God is the high priest of your confession tonight. Lift up your voices tonight. And the Bible said, God being the high priest of your confession, that all you got to do is call on God. He'll give you the desires of your heart. All you got to do is remember tonight, God said, he that is within you is greater than he that is in the world. He that is within you tonight is greater than he that is in the world. Don't let the devil give you trouble tonight. The devil is the prince of the world.
But God in you tonight, Christ in you tonight, He's greater than that which is in the world, beloved friend. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Oh, can't you turn yourself over to Him tonight? Can't you forget about your reasoning tonight? Can't you forget about your thinking tonight and say, my God, my God, my God, I don't care what I think. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I love you with all of my heart, Jesus. I'm leaning on you, Jesus. I'm not going to try to figure this thing out, Jesus. You said you would supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And God, I need financial help. God, I need your blessings. And say, God, I need healing tonight. I need forgiveness of sin tonight. I need the yoke broken tonight. I need the oppression taken away tonight. God, I need for you to do something for me tonight. Oh, God wants to do something for you. God wants to do something for you tonight. God wants to put a rainbow in your cloud tonight. Did you know that? God is seeking to put a rainbow in your cloud tonight. If you'll let the Holy Ghost come into you tonight, you can have God's rainbow, because that's what God's rainbow is. Hallelujah. Can you worship God tonight? Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you let God come into your hearts tonight? Folks, we need to do something for God. We need to do something for God. The world is waiting for you to do something for God. All over the world tonight, they're waiting for you. Let's do something for God. Can you do something for God? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the moving of the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel people's faith going out to God tonight. I feel the moving of the Spirit tonight. I feel God breaking the yokes tonight. I feel the bondages being broken tonight. I feel something happening tonight. God is doing something tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's don't be in a hurry to go home tonight. Let's worship God tonight. Look at them little girls lifting their hands, little boys lifting their hands. Even they know something's happening tonight. God is moving tonight. Oh, hallelujah. God's wanting to put that rainbow in your cloud tonight. God's wanting to put that rainbow in your cloud tonight. God's wanting to touch your spirit tonight. If you'll worship God, if you'll let go, if you'll quit reasoning, get away from your own understanding. Get away from your own understanding. Stop being intellectual tonight. Stop reasoning in your mind tonight. Worship God tonight. Forget about everybody. Forget about everything tonight. And love the Lord with all of your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Can you love Jesus tonight? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's worship God tonight. Let's love the Lord tonight. Let's let go tonight. Let's lift our hands up to heaven tonight. Let's do something for God tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel God here tonight. I feel the Spirit moving tonight. I feel like we need to worship God tonight. I feel like we need to let go in God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! I feel God moving. I feel God healing. I feel God delivering. I feel God breaking the yoke. I feel God tonight. I feel somebody's spirit that's going out to meet God tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost coming down upon you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody worship God. Somebody love God tonight. Lift up your hands. Lift up your heads. Lift up your hearts tonight. And worship the great Father of Spirits tonight. Let your spirit worship the Father of Spirits tonight. Let your spirit worship the Father of Spirits tonight. Worship the Father of Spirit in spirit tonight. in truth tonight. Oh, glory to God. Let God revive you tonight. 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 Oh, get over the Jordan. Oh, get over the Jordan. Hallelujah. Get over the Jordan. 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 Come on across tonight. Come on across tonight. Come on across tonight. Get over the Jordan tonight. Come on across tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, what is the Jordan? Brother, sister, that Jordan is your intellectual reasoning. That Jordan is your mind of unbelief. That mind of skepticism. That mind of worrying. That mind of trying to figure it out. What is the Jordan tonight? It's that intellectual mind of reasoning that won't let go in God, that won't trust God. That leaning to your understanding is the Jordan. Oh my God. Come on over the Jordan, folks. Come on over the Jordan. You say, Brother Pike, what will it be if I get over the Jordan? It means you don't have to die. It means you don't have to die. As long as you're carnal-minded, you will die. As long as you can't break loose from your human reasoning, you will die. As long as you try to figure it out, you will die. As long as you're caught in the rib of your own thinking, you're going to die. But my brother, if you can praise God and love God and lean upon God and look to God and trust in God with all of your mind, with all of your heart, with all of your life, with all of your soul. Folks, love God tonight. Lift up your hands and praise God tonight. Don't just stand there. Praise God tonight. God is a spirit. And God inhabits the praise of His people. Love God. Make love to Jesus tonight. Love Him tonight. Let Him come down. Give Him a place at Bethlehem. Let God live at Bethlehem. Make this a place of the house of bread. Make this a place where people can come. Make this a place where you can deliver people. And God can do something. Hallelujah. 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 Use your voices for Jesus. Use your voices for Jesus. Use your voices for Jesus. The Bible said everything in heaven, everything in the earth, everything under the earth was saying, holy, 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 a Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 a Lord God Almighty. Everything in heaven, everything in the earth, everything under the earth. Oh, as we walked up the street of Dolorosa, we cried to the top of our voice, thus saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O Israel. The time is fulfilled, and the desolation thereof is at hand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel you getting over the Jordan, saints. I feel you getting over the Jordan, saints. I feel you coming over the Jordan. Glory to God, I feel you coming over the Jordan. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Oh, a band of angels coming after me. I looked and saw a great, wonderful move of God. A great, wonderful move of God. And I saw them getting over the Jordan. I saw the angels coming after me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you get there before I do, tell them I'm coming. Oh, tell them I'm coming. Look over that Jordan. And if you get there before I do, tell them I'm coming. Oh, tell them I'm coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's leave the world behind. Let's leave the ambitions behind. Let's leave the desire behind. Let's get away from that thing of wanting to excel in this world. And let's excel in God. And let's turn to God. Let's look to God. Let's get away from the world. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand. I cast a wishful eye. to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possession lies. Come on over that Jordan. Come on over that Jordan. Hallelujah. Come on over that Jordan. Come on over that Jordan. Hallelujah. And the good Lord said to Joshua, bring my people over that Jordan. Bring my people. Bring my people over that Jordan. Hallelujah. Get over the Jordan. Get over the Jordan. Hallelujah. Oh, the move is on. David said the move is on. I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. I say, oh God, that move is on. Ooh, that move is on. That move is on. I can feel it, folks. Glory to God, I feel the yoke broken. I can feel the yoke broken. I can feel faith. Faith has broken the yoke. I can tell it. Somebody's come over the Jordan. Somebody's passed from death into life. Somebody's been filled with the Spirit. Somebody's moving tonight in the things of God. That move is on. I feel that move is on. Somebody has forsaken that desire to do their own thing, and they've turned their hearts over to God, and they're completely yielded to God, and they've completely decided they're going God's way. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let the saints praise the Lord. 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 Let's take time to be holy. Let's take time to praise God. Let's lift up our voices to God. The world is dying. The world needs you. God's wanting to use you tonight. You're God's tonight. Oh, God's wanting to use you tonight. God's wanting to use you tonight. Oh, Jesus, use me. Please don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Even though it be humble, God, I'll let my will crumble. Just use me, Jesus. Oh, don't you want to be used tonight? Beloved friend, don't you want to be used tonight? Let's get ready. Let's get filled with the Spirit. The Bible said they stayed there. They tarried. They prayed for days until the Holy Ghost come and set upon each of them and fill them with the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Don't you feel something tonight? Don't you feel something tonight? Don't you feel a freedom tonight? Don't you feel a yoke broken tonight? Don't you feel the moving of God tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship God tonight. Come on, saints, lift your hands and let's love God. Let's love God. Let's love God. Let's love God. Let's worship God tonight. Hallelujah. Can't you worship God tonight? Can't you love Jesus tonight? Move in the Spirit tonight. Move in the Spirit. Ask God for a gift tonight. Ask God to give you a gift tonight. Say, oh God, give me a gift tonight. God, open up a gift in my heart. God, make my spirit move tonight. God, do something for me. Oh God, move tonight by your wonderful Spirit. God wants to give you a gift tonight. God wants to give you a gift tonight. Wouldn't you like to have the gift of healing tonight? Wouldn't you like to have the gift of miracles tonight? Wouldn't you like to have the gift of vision tonight? The gift of wisdom tonight? Wouldn't you like for God to fill your spirit tonight with His wonderful Spirit, with His wonderful power? Wouldn't you like to God to favor you tonight? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Wouldn't you like for God to favor you tonight? Wouldn't you like for God to bless you tonight? Oh, friend, God wants to dwell in you tonight. God wants to give you a gift tonight. God wants to stir your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on over the Jordan. Come on over the Jordan. You that haven't come over, come on over that carnal mind tonight. Forget about life's ambitions tonight. Hallelujah. That stream is flowing tonight. That stream is flowing tonight. Everything's going to be all right. Because God put a rainbow in my cloud. Can you sing it? Oh, God, put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God, put that rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, God, put that rainbow in my cloud. I feel it now, don't you? Well, God, put that rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God, put that rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, God, put that rainbow in my cloud. Let's sing a little more. Well, God, put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, did God put a rainbow in your cloud? Well, it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, but God put that rainbow in my cloud. Sing it with me now. Well, God put the rainbow in my cloud. Oh, God put the rainbow in my cloud. And when it looked like the sun couldn't shine anymore, God put that rainbow in my cloud. Don't you love Him tonight? Lift your hands up to God tonight. If you love God tonight, tell Jesus you love Him. If you got over the Jordan tonight, tell God. Say, Lord, I've had a lot of problem getting over the Jordan. And like Brother Pike said the other night, I cut too much off of my cross and I almost fell in. But God won't ever cut nothing else off my cross. I won't never cut nothing else off my cross. God, tonight I feel like I'm over that old carnal mind. I feel like I've lost all my ambition for money, riches and power and splendor and our prestige and those things that's going to fade away with the world. And God, I believe you caught my spirit again tonight. I believe you caught my attention tonight. I believe you caught my mind tonight, God. I believe I got over the Jordan tonight. I believe I can trust you now, Lord. I believe I can believe in you now, Lord. I believe I've got away from my reasoning now, Lord. And I believe that I can trust in you. I believe I can go forth now. I believe I can run through a troop and leap over a wall tonight. I believe I can handle it by Jesus' name. I believe I can take that little sling called faith and I can kill the giant of opposition that's in my life. I can get that old carnal mind out of the way. I can do away with that drab feeling. I can do away with that thing of feeling cut off. And oh, God, tonight I can get a hold of this thing. And God, I can go. Hallelujah. I can go, God. I can go, God. I'll run to meet the giant. Hallelujah. I'm not going to draw back and say, can I? Will I? Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I'll run and meet Him, God. Glory to God, I'll run and meet Him, David said. I'll run and meet Him. My faith is just right. God, give me a sword. I'll run through a troop and I'll leap over a wall. The Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. Hallelujah. Bethlehem ought to be able to put all of them to flight. Glory to God. All of us together put all of them to flight. Don't you love Him tonight? We're going to sing this one more time. God put a rainbow in Brother Taylor's cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in Brother Hollis's cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in their cloud. Well, God put a rainbow in Brother Lambert's cloud. Oh, God put a rainbow in Brother Lambert's cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. Oh, let God put a rainbow in your cloud. If it looks like the sun just won't break through, then let God put a rainbow in your cloud. Oh, I've got a rainbow in my cloud. Oh, I've got a rainbow in my cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in my cloud. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! If you got a rainbow in your cloud, say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Do you feel free tonight? Can you say hallelujah? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say glory to God? Can you say I love you, Jesus? Can you say I got a rainbow in my cloud? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you sing it with me? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you sing it with me? Glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Feel like singing Long Live the King. It is so wonderful tonight to love Jesus. Really, it is. I'm going to ask Brother Atlee Beachy to come up here for just a few minutes. Tonight, you know, come to think of it, Brother Atlee being here tonight is to get the last parts to take it back, to get the boat finished on the front of it, which has to do with the redemption. You know, we just come through what's called the Passover, and some things has taken place over in Israel, and some things has taken place at Little Bethlehem, and something beautiful is happening. Beautiful is happening. You know, God is so good and God is so loving. And God wants something to happen to you every moment of your life that's inspiring. He wants to do something good for you every moment of your life because that's the way He loves you. You're the apple of His eye. Tonight, I want you to lift your hands up with me again tonight. Even these precious, darling little children, little girls and little boys, so beautiful. They lift up their little loving hands as when Jesus passed by and took them upon His knee. How beautiful, how sweet. Lest you become as little children. Tonight, as you lift up your hands, oh, beloved friend, what an hour, what a moment, what an inspiring event. Something is happening. And the Spirit of God is going to grow greater and stronger and stronger and stronger. Until you're going to feel it, you're going to feel it, and you're going to feel it like rain pouring down out of heaven. In that vision, when I saw the women put on them long dresses, you say, Brother Pike, they've already wore them. No, not really. Not really. They really haven't yet. You say, but Brother Pike, they have those long dresses. Yeah, but they don't have them in their heart. Wait till they get them in their heart, and they really want to do it, and they're doing it for Jesus, and they just love it. Then they've really got them on. And you know what? Them dresses representing the clothing of the Spirit, that the fullness of His Word has come. The fullness of His blessings has come. And oh, beloved friend, God will magnify you. His eyes are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, running to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart that He may show Himself strong in their behalf. Oh, that the yoke might be broken. Tonight, I want you to lift your hands up, and I want you to love Him tonight. And I want you to thank Him tonight. I want you to tell Him how much you care for Him tonight. How much you love Him tonight. Oh, can you do that tonight? As Brother Atlee Beachy comes tonight, he's going to pray with you for just a few minutes. That God will bless you and that God will help you as he closes the prayer tonight. And so tonight, with your hands lifted up, with your mind steadfast in God, and I feel the Holy Ghost going all through me right now. I feel Him going through me. I feel Him quickening my body right now. He's running up and down through my body right now. I'm telling you the truth. I feel Him. He's moving right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel Him. I hope you feel Him too, but I feel Him going all through my body. As Brother Atlee comes tonight, you talk to Jesus and you ask Jesus tonight. You say, Jesus, do something for me. Oh, Lord, I feel You have done something for me. My hallelujah. What a time.
What a day. What a moment. Hallelujah. As our brother comes tonight.